Hello, 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 and welcome to Fat Free. I am your host, Braxton Cosby, Dr. Braxton Cosby, a.k.a. the Fat Doctor. And I'm so glad you guys decided to come and join me again for another edition of my podcast. This is our August podcast, 2015, and today I'm going to be talking about a couple of topics that I think you guys are going to enjoy and going to be very informative for you. For one, everybody has this debate about weight loss, and I get it, man. Calories in, calories out, go crazy, do some of these insane workouts, binge diets, eat this type of cereal all day, every day only, lose weight. And what are some of the other ones out there that you guys do? Maybe you'll do a Daniel fast or any other kind of assault fast or something that you do in the beginning of the year just to kind of invigorate you, get you in the right mental mode of what you should be doing for health. And at the end of the day, I think we're overcomplicating things. Me personally, I just do a lot of portion control. My focus is mainly on the amount of food I put in my stomach, which is really just comes down to volume. I believe that the stomach, being a muscle, can be stretched. And sometimes you can overstretch it, and our satiety or our sensation of feeling full is based on a couple of things, but the main thing that I think is a component that people are missing is that they don't understand that their stomach is stretched when they eat. And if you continue to stretch a muscle over time, it becomes more and more flexible, and you start to increase the amount of size that the stomach is, and the ability for the stomach to notify the brain that, hey, I'm full, we don't need any more food, is now getting compromised because you're going further and further with stretching the stomach muscle, continuing to eat a lot of food. And when you do that, the stretch receptors, which are responsible to send the signal to the brain to say, hey, we're overstretched, we're done, they are not as effective as sending that message. So what you need to do is get back to cutting the volume down. And that's pretty much what I do, folks. I took what I normally considered a regular portion of food, and I started to decrease that. So that became my main weapon against overeating. And actually what I did over time is that, obviously, you're eating less food, you're consuming less calories, and therefore you're able to manage it better. With this type of system in place, truthfully, I'm able to eat whatever I want, but I don't overdo it. Even though I have the ability to gorge myself, maybe because I exercise at least 4 to 5 times a week at a very high rate, very high intensity, burning anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 calories alone in the gym, then most people say, oh, well, you can eat what you want, but I just don't do that. I realize that in my case, I've won the battle against volume. So now my main focus has become the content of what I'm putting in my body. Obviously, I avoid fried foods as much as possible, and I don't load a lot of sugar into my body because of some of the secondary changes that can occur with diabetes and insulin resistance that happens over time. And of course, the reason I avoid the fried foods is because of the cholesterol. And I would love for my coronary arteries to continue to stay nice and loose and empty and not full of some of the clogging properties that cholesterol brings, and some of the trans fatty acids that you take when you eat these fried foods. So I attack my content, and I just manage my volume, and I'm able to maintain my weight, and I'm able to work out. I have energy, I feel great, I feel rejuvenated, and I'm very happy where I am at this point in time. So you may be sitting there thinking, yeah, Braxton, blah, 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 I hear you, man, but I got real issues, and I get that. So today, I'm gonna try to give you a little bit of a relief and prescribe an exercise prescription that I think will work for you. Just my suggestions, the years I've had as a personal trainer, obviously training myself as well, working with clients and a physical therapist, I think I may have a couple of things that are gonna work in your favor. So Stay tuned because we're about to go over that very briefly. First thing I want to do before I give you these tips is ask you a very important question. So listen up. Do you understand your body enough to know what it wants to eat and when it wants to eat? Because I think a lot of times we don't listen to our bodies. Some days I may come home and I may want something very sweet, or I may just want meat and vegetables, or maybe I want carbs. And I've learned how to understand my body in a way that when it speaks like that, if I give it what it wants, it's very happy and it doesn't really take a lot of food to make it happy. One tip I will give you guys about sugary snacks is that I used to be a dessert eater in the beginning of my dinner. So if I had my meal, my plate of food, and I had my dessert, I would eat my dessert first, and because I just love, you know, cakes and pies. I'm not a candy eater, but I will eat cakes and pies. So I would eat it first. And the minute I did that, I started noticing that I would be so hungry. And I would almost want to gorge or wolf down the plate of food that I had, and I still couldn't be satisfied. Because I'll tell you one thing, sugar is one of these things that the craving for sugar can only be satisfied by sugar. You can't eat a nice piece of chicken after you've eaten sugar and your body still wants sugar. It wants sugar. I mean, you become a sugar head. Not a crackhead, but a sugar head, which means that the only thing that's going to help that sugar fix is sugar itself. So what I realize is, okay, you got a plate of food. Maybe that food is 750 calories. Maybe that sugary dessert you have is 300. So if I went through my plate of food first, there's a good chance that I may not eat the dessert because I may be full. But if I eat it first, I'm almost guaranteed to eat the plate of food because the sugar is going to drive me to eat. Sugar is like fuel in your body. And what happens is as soon as you drop that fuel into your bloodstream, the pancreas secretes insulin. Insulin is now the transport to take the sugar out of your bloodstream and put it into your cells. So insulin does its job and it does it very well, but sometimes insulin is not a perfect science, guys. So say you put one, I'm just gonna throw an example out here that I think you guys understand. Say you throw one teaspoon of sugar into your bloodstream, your body's gonna dump like maybe 3 teaspoons of insulin into your bloodstream because it overshoots, it doesn't know. And that's good because insulin's gonna do its job, it's gonna eliminate all the sugar, it's gonna get out of your bloodstream. But the downfall is that our bodies read what we call substrate and chemicals in our bloodstreams all the time because it's trying to manage everything. The body is very, very efficient. So it reads that, hey, there's a lot of insulin in our bloodstream. So what the body then says to itself is, hey, well, if we've got a lot of insulin, then we must need to eat. So what it does is it actually tries to, it drives the natural responses and urges to continue to eat when it sees insulin in the bloodstream. So your response of your mouth watering, your stomach churning, all of that happens once there's a lot of insulin. So if you get where I'm going here, you dump sugar in, your body's gonna say it's time to eat, and it's gonna eat a lot, and it's gonna overeat, and you're gonna overstretch your stomach. And when you overstretch your stomach, stomach's gonna stretch over time, you're gonna continue to eat bigger volumes of food, and the cycle just continues. So, if I were you, which I do now, is in order to control my volume and my calorie intake, I make sure that I eat my plate of food first. I start with my green veggies, get a good salad that kinda starts to fill you up early, drink plenty of water, and then go through your normal meal. And then there's a chance that maybe, just maybe, a spoonful or a half of the slice of pie that you were gonna normally eat is gonna be just enough to fill you up. So let's just take that and go from there. So let me give you some tips today to kind of get you guys over the hump as far as taking back control of your health, because that's what really I'm getting at here today. Taking control of your health from a meal perspective is very, very important. So here are some simplified steps to taking back control of your health. At the start of each week, weigh yourself. Yeah, I know in the past, weighing yourself has not been a popular topic, and a lot of you guys have destroyed your scales, put them out to pass, shot them in the backyard, or whatever you did, but you need to get those guys back. You need to understand where you are in your campaign for life, because that's what I want this to be for you. I want this to be a campaign for life for you to take your health back. So you're going to log everything every week. You're going to look at your weight, and then you're going to start logging your meals. You're going to look at your portion control. You're going to look at the meals you have, how much exercise you're doing, and you're going to obviously log your weight. Leave nothing to memory, okay? Now, here are two components of the campaign for life that you are going to follow, and I'll make it very simple. One is the eat less component. You're going to eat 4 to 6 times a day. These are regular meals. Not the traditional meals that you may want to eat, guys. These are not the big heaping helpings of food that are sliding off the plate. These are you take your normal portion of food, and then what you're going to do is you're going to take half of that and slide it off the plate, step away from the table, put it in the refrigerator because we don't waste food, and then you're going to eat it another day. Okay? So that's 3 meals. Should be breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Don't skip a meal. The other 2 to 3 meals that you're going to have during the day are snacks. And these guys are very small, and they're in between your normal meals. Okay, so you'll have breakfast, then you have a snack. Then you have lunch, then you have a snack. Then you have dinner, and you may or may not need that snack after dinner, but if you do, you go ahead and do it. And this is going to look like your basic protein shakes or protein bars or your yogurts. You're going to have a fruit component, maybe an apple, pear, banana, only one piece. If it's grapes, nuts, cherries, or pistachios or almonds, you're going to make sure that you only have one handful and you eat them slow. That way you feel like you're filling up. And that's what you're going to do. So you're going to eat that, but you're going to eat less, and you're also going to eat more because you're eating more times during the day, but the meals are smaller. And that's going to allow your body to continue to churn and burn calories because it's working. Digesting food is work, guys. It's not something that's a passive action. When you are eating food and breaking food down, you are working. So that's what we want your body to do. You want your body to get into a state where it's not just idle, but it is working all the time. And that's the purpose of eating so many times a day. But you want to eat the right foods. The other component of this campaign for taking your life back and your health back is the Move More component. So you're going to buy yourself a pedometer, and you're going to wear it for one full day. I want you to then write down how many steps you got out of that day. The goal for the next day is to beat that by one step, and then one step, and then another step, and then so forth and so on, that by the end of the year, you should have added 365 steps to what you started out with. So that's your Move More. That's one piece. If you already have a fitness program that you participate in, whether you're doing walking, dancing, spin class like me, you know I'm always Spin City when you guys see me on Facebook and social media, you're going to add the time and the distance to it, and you're going to increase that intensity. Say, for example, if you do bike and you do half a mile, you're going to do a half a mile plus another foot, another yard, whatever it takes until you get up to 1 mile. Then you're going to go for 2 miles and 3 miles and so forth and so on. If you are in a organized exercise class, you may want to, and you're always doing an hour, you know, but you don't know what else you're going to increase your intensity wise, then maybe you want to monitor your heart rate. And while you monitor your heart rate, you'll go up every so often a couple of beats a minute, you know, so you want to increase the intensity. So as you increase that intensity, and where you may have been only doing 130 beats a minute, you maybe go to 135. You try to stay in that 5 beat range. You don't want to make drastic changes. You want to make them very basic. You want to be able to go up incrementally, okay? So go ahead and do that, just where you're increasing the intensity. And then you may want to join a challenge. You may want to do an ab challenge, a 30-day ab challenge, a 30-day squat challenge, leg up, leg press challenge. You may want to do anything that it takes to monitor yourself and to just do better. So that's your eat less, is monitoring how much you eat, the volume of food you eat, and how many times you eat, and of course the content. And then move more, of course, is the exercise component. You want to get more exercise out of your day than ever before. And that's increasing the distance, the intensity, the level, and of course maybe the days. And once you get that going, guys, you are going to be on the right road to taking control of your life. The campaign to take your life back is today. It's not tomorrow, because you know what? We are in a time of a today time. We are in a microwave society. We want everything right now. We want our relationships fixed right now. We want our spirituality right now. We want to see God move in our lives right now. We want our jobs. We want raises. We want a promotion. We want everything out of our jobs that we want. We want our kids to be safe, happy. And of course, we love relationships. We want the perfect man, the perfect woman. Whatever it is, we want that. So I'm asking you all to want your health today. You need to get it together today. You need to not sit around and wait and hope and pray that it happens someday, because today is your day. And I want that for you, but I can't want it for you more than you want it for yourself. Okay? So let's go out there. Let's have some goals. Let's set them. And let's dedicate ourselves to accomplishing those goals. A couple of things that will probably help you out along the way is a buddy system. Go ahead and buddy up. Find out what it takes to get someone to motivate you, because buddies are great. You know, they say, you know, you don't want to ever swim alone. You don't want to exercise alone. Trust me, it gets pretty boring. I have a couple of partners who I swap in and out. You know, we'll go and we exercise. We push each other. We challenge one another. And it's always good to have a spotter, somebody who's going to help you lift that weight, get that extra rep that you might not have normally gotten. Always good to have a buddy, because the buddy system works. The accountability there is key, because you know, you have your goals. You put those goals out. You want everybody to know about them. You want your buddy to know what your goals are. You want to know what their goals are. And both of you want to motivate one another. As iron sharpens iron, that's where you all want to be. So I encourage you to find a good workout partner, even if it's not a friend. Even if it's somebody at the gym you meet, you guys talk, you coordinate a time that you want to meet back at the gym again, and you get on the program. It is proven scientifically that those who have goals, who have a partner who is willing to inspire and encourage you, they're the ones who accomplish their goals, and at least quicker and at a higher level than even they've anticipated. So I'm going to encourage you to do the same thing. And I know you can do it. You just need a plan.
This has been a Cosby Media Productions production. Executive Producer Braxton A. Cosby, 2015, all rights reserved. Any reproduction or redistribution of this podcast without the written consent of Braxton A. Cosby is prohibited.